Test 6.
You will hear a number of different recordings, and you have to answer questions on what you hear. There'll be time for you to read the instructions and questions, and you have a chance to check your work. All the recordings will be played once only. The test is in 4 sections. At the end of the test, you will be given 10 minutes to transfer your answers to your answer sheet. Now turn to Section 1. Section 1. You will hear a conversation between Simon and Lisa. First, you have some time to look at questions 1 to 10. Now listen carefully and answer questions 1 to 10. Hi, Lisa. How are you? You look a little puzzled.
Hi, Simon. I am. You're familiar with the campus, aren't you? I can't figure out where anything is.
Well, let me give you a hand then. Which places do you need to know?
First, I need to know where the library is. I haven't registered yet.
All right. You know where the North Gate is, don't you?
Yes, it's up that way, about 200 metres.
Sorry, Lisa. I'm afraid it's in that direction, and it's about 500 metres away.
Well, that begins to explain why I can't find anything. So, the South Gate.
North. Then it's a little towards the West Gate. You can't miss it, because it's really big and has a large sign on it.
Okay, I'll take your word for it. The second place I need to find is the Sports Centre.
That's in the southwest part of the campus. It's easy to see because there's the outdoor athletics stadium nearby.
Okay. Next, I need to know where Churchill Building is. That's where I have my lectures tomorrow.
That's back by the library. You know the building, the McDonald Building, where our department is?
Yes, that's right by the East Gate, isn't it?
Right. Well, the Churchill Building is opposite. Well, almost opposite that.
Not that small building directly opposite.
No, the larger one beside it.
Got it. Okay, last one. Where's the cafeteria? I know it's next to the bookshop.
And can you see the bookshop?
Well, hang on. It's right there, here in the centre of the campus.
A great central location, if you ask me.
What time is the library open?
It's open from 8 a.m. until 10 p.m.
And the cafeteria?
8 a.m. until 7 p.m.
Is that every day? Someone said that it isn't open so long at the weekends.
No, it's every day.
And the sports centre?
Now, if I remember rightly, that opens at 7 a.m. and closes at 9 p.m. But the outdoor athletics field can only be used during daylight hours, since there's no floodlighting.
You play sports, don't you, Simon?
I do. I've signed up for the football team trials this coming weekend, and I was on the athletics team at school.
When are the trials? I don't play football, but I enjoy watching.
They're on Saturday, starting at 10 a.m. The organisers said that we should expect to be there until mid-afternoon, probably until around 3.
Well, I've got things to do in the morning, but I'll come along after lunch. I hope you survive until then.
So do I. I think that in the morning they'll be aiming to sort out the people with ability from the no-hopers. Then, in the afternoon, they'll be sorting out who's the best.
OK, well, good luck with that. I'll see if Leslie wants to come along.
OK, see you Saturday. That is the end of Section 1. You now have half a minute to check your answers. Now turn to Section 2. Section 2. You will hear a presentation on living in London. First, you have some time to look at questions 11 to 20. Now listen carefully and answer questions 11 to 20. Welcome to this latest lecture on living in London. Today we're going to look at transport, and I'd like to start with the London Underground system, also called the Tube because of the shape of the tunnels. First, you need to learn your lines. There are 12 different lines, each with its own name. For example, the Piccadilly line, the Circle line. Each line is a different colour on the map of the Underground system. You can find the map in the ticket hall at each Underground station, and usually on the platforms as well. Sections of the map are also displayed in the carriages of the Underground trains. Before you begin, it helps to know which line you are starting on and on which line your destination can be found. If they are on different lines, look at the map to see where the two lines cross, and note the name of the station where they meet. That is where you have to change trains. If the two lines do not cross, keep looking until you find a third line that crosses both of the other two. Then you will need to change trains twice. You can buy a ticket from one of the automatic machines or from the ticket office. Either way, you need to know the name of the station you are going to. You also need to know whether you want a single ticket, which is valid just to get you to your destination, or a return, which gets you there and back again. Fares are based on a zone system. The more zones you travel through, the more expensive your fare is. There are 6 zones, with Zone 1 covering central London and Zone 6 covering the outskirts of the system, including, for example, Heathrow Airport. Most of the Underground maps show which stations are in which zones. A single ticket for travel through all 6 zones currently costs £4. Depending on how far you are travelling and how many journeys you need to make, it may be cheaper to buy a one-day travel card, which gives you unlimited travel on all London Underground and bus services. The day you buy it. A one-day travel card covering all 6 zones currently costs £8. You can also buy an Oyster card. This is the best option if you are going to be in London for a long time. You get a discount on all tickets, usually about 10%. And you don't have to queue to buy tickets. Just buy credit for your card and then use it as directed when you enter and leave Underground stations at the start and finish of your journeys. At Underground stations, you must pass through an automatic gate. Put your ticket into the slot to the right of the gate. When the gate opens, pass through. As you pass through, your ticket will pop up from another slot on the top. Pull your ticket out and take it with you. You need it at the end of your journey. This is the same procedure for travel cards. With Oyster cards, you hold your card over the card reader at special automatic gates. If you have baggage with you, you can go through a special larger gate where you can pass through more easily. Show your ticket to an attendant and ask him or her to let you through this gate. Most stations have long escalators leading to and from the trains. Try to stand to the right-hand side, leaving space for people to walk past you on the left. When changing trains, get off at the station where the line you are on crosses the line you need. Follow the signs for the line you need and the direction you want to go in. When you leave the system, you must pass through an automatic gate again to leave the station. Put your ticket in the slot as before. If you bought a return ticket or a travel card, your ticket will pop up for you to collect again, so that you can use it later. If you bought a single ticket, or if you are on the return trip of your return ticket, your ticket will stay in the machine. To find out more about the London Underground, check the official website, www.thetube.com. This site also has the map and information in numerous foreign languages. Now, let's move on to... That is the end of section 2. You now have half a minute to check your answers. Now turn to section 3. Section 3. You will hear a conversation between the advisor and an overseas student. First, you have some time to look at questions 21 to 30. Now listen carefully and answer questions 21 to 30. Good afternoon. How can I help you?
Good afternoon. My name is Helena Schwartz. I have an appointment at 3.
Ah, yes. Come in. Please take a seat. Now, what can I do for you?
Well, I need some advice about my studies. I'm a foreign student from Germany and, well, I heard that this is the place to come.
It certainly is. So, what kind of problems are you having? It's quite normal for students to meet problems, particularly overseas students who might not be familiar with the British way of life or education system.
Well, my first problem is the workload.
That's a common problem, even with British students.
It seems to me that the biggest difference between university and secondary school is that university students have to do a lot of work on their own. And it's sometimes useful to get advice on how to take control of your time and work effectively.
You're right. The obvious thing to do is to make a schedule and stick to it. Bear in mind that there is enough time to do the work and enough time for extracurricular activities.
You mean that I shouldn't overload myself?
Right. But moreover, be careful to spread your work out over the weeks and months. Don't do anything for a while. Then get worried because you have little time to get assignments finished.
Yes, that's clear.
We get a lot of students coming to us with that problem, so we've produced a leaflet about it. You should have received one during orientation, but sometimes... Well, here you are.
Thank you. I'll read it carefully later.
Okay, and feel free to come back if you have any questions about it.
Okay. My second problem is with research.
Are you going to complain that the library isn't open at the weekends?
How did you guess?
We get so many students complaining about that. We're trying to get that changed, but, well, to be honest, the library staff already work long shifts, and unless we can get extra staff, the library has to remain closed at the weekends.
I understand, but...
I know. It makes organising your time even more important. Make sure that you get all the books you need from the library before the weekend. Then devote some of your weekend time to making notes from the books at the weekend.
The problem is that I'm easily distracted when I'm working at home rather than in the library.
Well, an alternative strategy is to work longer hours during the week when the library is open and do no work at all at the weekends. Sometimes it's very useful to forget about studies for a day or two each week.
Yes, that might be better for me. I can concentrate on my work in the library and then leave the weekends free. Also, I have some problems with my essay assignments. Could you have a look at these and tell me what you think?
Certainly. I see. Well, even if you plan your writing carefully... This can come to nothing if the assignment doesn't actually answer the question. That really is the most important thing to remember. You must read the question extremely carefully and give it a great deal of thought before you even start planning or writing your first draft. It's also essential to check your work for errors. Everybody makes them, and they can influence the professor marking the work. So always take time at the end to check what you have written. Many overseas students ask a British student to check their work for them. I have a short list of people who will do this for a small fee if you'd like it.
That's okay. I have several British friends. I'm sure I can bribe them to check my grammar and spelling.
Good. Anything else?
Yes, there is. I find it hard to keep up sometimes in lectures. Do you have any tips for me? I was thinking of recording them using an MP3 player. Then I can listen to it again afterwards and...
Well, a lot of people find them useful. But some people point out that you might never actually have time to listen to the recording again. Something else you could try is checking your notes with a friend after the lecture. Go for a coffee or something.
Yes, that's a good idea. Thanks. Thank you very much for your help.
That's what I'm here for. That is the end of section 3. You now have half a minute to check your answers. Now turn to section 4. Section 4. You will hear a monologue on the subject of volunteer work in Africa. First, you have some time to look at questions 31 to 40. Now listen carefully and answer questions 31 to 40.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Jane Winter, and I'm here to tell you a little about the possibility of volunteer work in Africa. If you're looking for volunteer work in Africa, there are plenty of opportunities available. Let's look at the different types of volunteer opportunities available in Africa. What to expect when volunteering in Africa? And stories from volunteers who have worked in Africa. Volunteering means something different to almost every organisation you come across. Some agencies will cover your flight and cost of living while you are working, and some are true volunteer projects and expect you to cover all costs for the privilege of the experience. If you're looking for a more meaningful way to spend a few months in Africa, than simply travelling around, volunteering is a wonderful way to spend your time. Most jobs that last less than a year or so are going to be the ones you have to pay for. Jobs that require a commitment of more than a year will often offer a basic stipend to cover some of your costs. Whether you get paid and how much you get paid will also depend on your skills and how much they're in demand. Most paid volunteer opportunities in Africa are available to those who have a university education and/or a practical skill. Engineers, doctors, nurses, environmentalists, emergency relief personnel, and teachers are among the most asked for by volunteer agencies. If an organisation doesn't require you to have specific skills, then you will usually have to pay your own expenses as a volunteer. In general, most organisations working in Africa try and recruit as many local people as possible, rather than foreigners, since the project should continue long after you have returned home. So don't take it personally if your intention to help people in Africa is rejected. It may just be that a local person is better suited to the job. What should you expect when you volunteer to work in Africa? Conditions are usually basic. Most volunteer opportunities take place in rural areas, where you may not have ready access to running water and electricity. Housing can be very basic, and you will likely be staying with local families. A word about cultural adaptability. As in most countries in the world, rural communities are usually more traditional than urban centres. As you will be working closely with the local population, you will have to dress and behave in accordance with what is acceptable locally. General pace of life and work is much slower than in the West. Don't expect any organisation to run efficiently and without glitches. Getting sick can be a problem. If you're spending more than just a few weeks in Africa, especially sub-Saharan Africa, your chances of getting malaria or bilharzia will also increase. Make sure you take all the medicine and precautions you need. The organisations you work with should brief you about health issues, and don't forget that local nurses and doctors will have plenty of experience with these common afflictions, probably more than your doctor at home. Initially, you may also have some problems getting used to different food and water. Anyone who has volunteered in Africa will probably tell you that the biggest impact their project had was not on the community, but on themselves. Spending time immersed in another culture will change the way you look at life and is part of the appeal of volunteering. Before you decide to volunteer in Africa, you may be interested to learn what the typical experiences are of people already in the field. Later, we'll look at a selection of volunteer stories and experiences from Africa. There are many volunteers and travellers who keep online diaries of their experiences. These contain some excellent tips about working, travelling, and living in Africa. Before that, just a quick word about work permits in Africa. Many people who travel around Africa may wish to stay and work. But just as in Europe or the US, every African country will require you to get an official work permit. In most cases, these laws exist to stop foreigners getting jobs that local people may be qualified for. Unemployment is bad enough throughout Africa, so don't take a job that a local person could do. Now, let's look at a few people's experiences.
That is the end of section 4. You now have half a minute to check your answers. That is the end of the listening test. In the IELTS test, you would now have 10 minutes to transfer your answers to the listening answer sheet.